Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, June 15th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Mugabe has no clue on fixing the ailing economy.
This government has failed. What is quite glaring is that Mr. Mugabe does not run out of people to blame, except himself.
Preparations for an MDCT public protest are in top gear in Manicaland province.
Preparations are in full steam for our demonstration on the 25th of June, where we are going to march from Sakuba Baituo past Msikawehu towards the Mikos Park.
And the central bank slashes bank charges as Zimbabwe's cash crisis worsens. For these stories and much more, stay tuned. MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Mugabe has no clue on fixing the ailing economy. Tsvangirai, who is recovering from an undisclosed ailment, said President Mugabe's ZANU-PF party has run out of ideas on how to handle the current cash crisis, high unemployment and other issues. The MDCT leader says this has resulted in the president blaming everyone, including the Chinese working in Zimbabwe, for causing the cash crisis in the country. Mr. Mugabe recently said most Chinese nationals who don't have bank accounts are suspected of externalizing funds generated in Zimbabwe. Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu Mr. Mugabe's remarks are far-fetched, but first he talks about his health condition.
Not fully recovered, but recovering. You know, after any operation, you need to go through a process of recovery. Surprisingly, I was not even aware of the extent of the ailment, but my goodness, timing was very good, and the operation went successful.
Is the nature of your ailment something that you want to disclose, or it's between you and your doctors?
Matters of personal health are confidential, but nothing really that should be out of the norm.
Why did you decide to seek medical treatment in South Africa? Was it because of the advice of your doctors or the deteriorating health facilities in Zimbabwe?
It was not even a question of going to South Africa. I got to South Africa for the test for my doctor. The examination would then advise me to go and do some tests in Zimbabwe. After the test in Zimbabwe, they then suggested that I should go and do a more thorough CT scan in South Africa. So I went down. And when I was there, it confirmed the ailment. I then went through the process, and the doctor suggested that we should immediately operate.
There was also talk that...
By the way, it's not a question of choice. I think people must understand that it's a question of to get the best expertise available. Not that there are no experts in Zimbabwe, but I'm sure that people will understand that matters of personal health are confidential.
And then the party is also saying that Mr. Tsvangirai will be leading from the front at this demonstration in Mutare. Are you ready?
If I am fully recovered, yes, definitely. It's my responsibility to do that. But if I am not fully recovered, I should allow the body to recover. Otherwise, you push yourself to the wall and lose the whole game. So what's the use of trying to demonstrate that bravado?
Let's talk about the economy, Mr. Tsvangirai. It seems the situation is worsening in Zimbabwe. What is your take on what is happening?
Well, everyone will confirm to you that it's a dire strait. The country is going through a dire strait. We've never experienced this, where everyone has now become poor. You can't withdraw your money. The banks have no money. And it's affecting all the consumer demand.
What is the way forward?
There is no magic wand here. Economics is a very straightforward answer. It's a very straightforward sign. And the way a country has used bond notes in order to facilitate its transactions, that country is doomed. There's no way in the world
And we have seen lately Mr. Mugabe uncharacteristically blaming the Chinese for allegedly externalizing funds. Are they to blame?
What is quite glaring is that Mr. Mugabe does not run out of people to blame, except himself.
That was MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7. Meanwhile, Tsvangirai's MDC says preparations for a public march on June 25th to express their views on the deteriorating economic situation are in top gear in Manicaland province. Reporter Lloyd Amoyo gives us the story.
The MDCT's Manicaland Provincial Spokesperson and Mtasa Central member of the National Assembly, Trevor Sarwaka, told Studio 7 that at least 10,000 people are expected to participate in this public protest.
Preparations are in full steam for our demonstration on the 25th of June, where we are going to march from Sakuba Baitwo past Msikawehuku towards the Mikos Park, where we are going to be addressed. And we are expecting the largest crowd ever since this march has started.
Sarwaka said they are not happy with the central bank's proposal to introduce bond notes, rising unemployment, current cash shortages, and the disappearance of $15 billion in diamond revenues in Manicaland province, among many other issues.
Tareo used to be vibrant in terms of industries, the timber industry. We used to have a car assembly plant at Quest, but all those places have closed down and our people are unemployed. We've got more than 95% unemployment in Manicaland. And we are saying ZANU-PF promised during their campaign in 2013 that they were going to deliver 2.2 million jobs. But we are surprised that today more people have left employment since the 2013 tenure of ZANU-PF.
Political analyst James Mufumi of the Center for Research and Development said demonstrations against President Mugabe's government could be useful now in this inflammatory economic environment where there is now a convergence of thoughts among all stakeholders towards social, economic and political change. Another observer and former Liberation War veteran Ivan Mbengo said Zimbabwean citizens have a democratic right to participate in public demonstrations and therefore MDCT activists are doing the proper thing in engaging in public protests. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
The central bank has slashed bank charges as Zimbabwe's cash crisis worsens. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, which quoted a statement released by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, the slashing of the charges is with immediate effect and meant to ease pressure on bank clients and promote the use of electronic banking services. Under the new charges announced yesterday, the maximum real-time gross settlement system, or RTG's, charge has been set at $5 from $10, while automated teller machine charges were left at $2.50. Electronic transfers will now attract a minimum fee of 33 cents, while a point-of-sale transaction of up to $10 will have a charge of 10 cents. Transactions above that amount will attract a charge of 45 cents instead of the previous $2.50. Maswingo residents have rejected the proposed local government amendment bill, saying it violates some provisions of Zimbabwe's constitution. Like in other provinces, they told a committee overseeing the parliamentary outreach program gathering people's views on the bill that the proposed piece of legislation gives the Minister of Local Government too much power in running local authorities. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba attended the hearing yesterday and filed this report.
Maswingo United Residents and Ratepayers Alliance Director Anozam Guti shot down the bill, saying it did not have the people at heart.
We are against the establishment of the proposed bill, as we have seen that it violates constitutional provisions relating to the devolution of local governance, the right to a fair trial, and also the right to administrative justice. Furthermore, the tribunal to be established is not independent, as Section 278 of the Constitution requires.
Sungano Zarebwanache of Majange, High Density Suburbs, added that the bill is intended to bring back some of the local government ministers' powers pruned by the Zimbabwe Constitution.
This bill must be rejected because it is giving more powers to the minister in terms of appointing and selection of the tribunal members. And also, it doesn't stipulate time frame for the reinstatement of any member, mayor, councillor or chairperson who has been found not to be guilty. It is silent on that, and that can give a leeway to the minister to punish even though the person found not guilty.
Other residents, including Andrew Takaeza, said the bill was a ploy by the ruling party to get rid of all opposition party councillors and mayors in urban areas.
One, because the bill is giving the minister more powers, e.g. to choose to nominate the chairperson, to nominate the judicial, to appoint those who are going to sit in the tribunal. Secondly, as residents of Mashingo, we are the people who voted for the councillors. So we know where they are wrong. If they are wrong, we have the powers to remove them as the residents.
Fanny Piri, chairperson of the parliamentary committee which visited Mashingo, held local residents for attending the hearing in large numbers.
The turnout was good in Mtare, and here it was quite good.
The meeting was characterized by disruption from ZANU-PF youth who tried to defend the bill and accused members of resident groups of carrying out awareness campaigns before the public hearing. They refused to talk to this reporter after the meeting. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Kandi Maramba.
Some Zimbabweans say it's impossible to eradicate poverty in the country due to lack of sound economic policies and general poor governance, among several other issues. Our reporter Arthur Jigoriwa has more details.
These sentiments came out at a poverty reduction workshop convened by the government held in Chinoyi, Mashonaland West Province, which was attended by villagers, state officials, civic society leaders and other stakeholders. Ngonidzache Masota, who traveled all the way from Kariba for the meeting, said bad governance and the lack of sound economic policies were the main causes of poverty in the country. Masota cited South Africa and Kenya as an example, saying that it has been proved that good governance usually results in good management of the economy. Masota said leaders will be accountable if the country's laws and sound policies are followed.
I think poverty can be eradicated by good governance. Giving examples of countries like Kenya and giving countries examples like South Africa, where it has been proven that good governance usually results in good management of. If taking for example our situation here in Zimbabwe, if we can align all our laws, if we can align our law from that constitution which we voted for, if we can align those laws, we might have a system whereby our leaders will be accountable, and also at the same time, if our leaders are accountable by the new constitution or by having a very effective constitution, it means that the economy will be better managed. And if the economy is better managed, then those leaders can actually lift us from poverty.
Masocha's sentiments were echoed by another participant, Bernard Kapoya, who said Zimbabwean leaders should create opportunities and a conducive political and economic environment for people to realize their full potential.
They need to create opportunity to their citizens. When these people, they went to the liberated country, they will say they are doing for the country, not for themselves. But what we've realized for the past 30-something years, they are busy, enrich themselves, but the majority are starving. Because when we read about the African Charter, it says the wealth of the country must be shared equally to every citizen of the country.
Chinoyi Council Acting Town Clerk Abel Gotora also told the meeting that poverty alleviation in the city is being worsened by the government's failure to release funds for the needy, supposed to be under some social welfare schemes. Gotora said the government is even failing to pay local authorities for the services rendered.
The central government is no longer supporting that function. That is being carried by the local authority.
Some of the participants also noted that poverty alleviation is also being affected by corruption and some politicians' refusal to pay for water, electricity and other council levies. Betty Biri was among participants who expressed such sentiments.
It is the big guys, vanima vehicles, zakanaka, vanima companies at stock market, who are resisting to pay.
The participants further told the meeting that there is need for government to facilitate the funding of farmers who play a critical role in boosting the capacity of households. Provincial Director of Education, Sylvester Mashayamombe, said people should get good education in order for Zimbabwe to eradicate poverty. Mashayamombe said the gains achieved after independence in 1980 are now being reversed as the education sector faces serious shortages of teachers and many schools are substandard. He said there is a shortage of 1,240 early children development teachers who are supposed to implement a new education system in Mashonaland West Province alone. Responding to participants' remarks on poverty alleviation, Zvinechimwe Ruvinga Churu, acting permanent secretary for the Ministry of Finance, said Zimbabweans should tighten their belts for difficult times ahead. Residents resolved that there is need for strengthening governance and institutional capacity and to take environment and climate change seriously. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Coming up, we will be talking with Pastor Rebecca Makai, a Zimbabwean based here in the USA, catering for the needs of women immigrants. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. Authorities are searching for a two-year-old boy who was dragged by an alligator into the water near Disney World Hotel in Florida late yesterday. U.S. investigators say that the wife of the man who carried out the biggest mass shooting in U.S. history had some knowledge of his plans and had accompanied him on a reconnaissance mission to the gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, where the attack occurred. And the U.S. presidential primary election season officially ended yesterday as Hillary Clinton defeated Bernie Sanders in the nation's capital, and the two candidates held what they called a positive discussion in Washington, D.C. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Pastor Rebecca Makai, a Zimbabwean based in Minnesota, USA, says she has launched an organization that caters for immigrant women and hopes to use it to assist women and girls affected by human trafficking. Mrs. Makai says she was touched by the plight of young Zimbabwean women and girls trafficked to Arab states and later abused after being promised lucrative job offers. She's now in the process of raising funds to assist those affected. Mrs. Makai, who's also spokesperson of a grouping of Zimbabwean women from different church denominations called Women of Dominion International, speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye about this and related issues.
Right now, I am very emotional. I feel hurt and I feel depressed in my spirit because these girls, they are the women of tomorrow. They are the ministers of tomorrow. They are the pastors of tomorrow. These are the wise mothers of tomorrow. These are the women we are expecting to rebuild the nation of Zimbabwe. Right now, I feel so much pain, and I am so emotional in hurt because I feel like we haven't done enough for our daughters, and it's time to rise up.
What kind of action would you like to see pastors like yourself taking up to address such issues like human trafficking of women and girls?
For me, I feel right now we need to put our differences, Zimbabweans, aside. Zimbabwean women, we need to put our differences aside. It's not about my name, Rebecca Makai. It's not about my church. This is not about religion. This is not about your church. We have passed now the level of thinking that way. To Christians, This is kingdom. How do we build God's kingdom? We build God's kingdom by bringing God's culture on earth as it is in heaven. And as we leave these daughters perishing like this, are we influencing and impacting and influencing the daughters of Zimbabwe to live a kingdom lifestyle? As mothers who bear children, we must feel the pain. It doesn't matter, she's not your daughter, but we feel undressed because these are our daughters. They are Zimbabweans. I'm a Zimbabwean, and I feel ashamed in this nation to hear people talk about women, children from Zimbabwe being human trafficked. I'd never heard something like that. I was so proud of my country. It's my first time to hear this. I didn't know it's happening in my country. And I'm so sad. I thought it was happening in other countries and not in Zimbabwe.
So where exactly did you hear about this issue?
It was from Studio 7. It was from Studio 7. That's where I saw it. And I'm so grateful that Studio 7 managed to publish such an article, an issue. I am so grateful because it has brought awareness. I'm now on assignment to mobilize women of Zimbabwe here.
What kind of action would you like to take yourself as a minister towards, rectifying this situation? Because it's an ongoing problem. They are looking at the state of the economy in Zimbabwe. We will see other girls being lured back into human trafficking. But what action can you take yourself?
Personally, I started an organization called Immigrant Women Coalition USA in America here. The reason why I started this organization, it was to empower immigrant women who came from Zimbabwe to say, okay, fine, we are okay. We have a good life. We are doing everything fine. But we need to think of back home. We need to give back home. We need to think of the women we left back home. And this is where I'm going to start from. As the president of Immigrant Women Coalition USA, I'm going to start by trying to find funding so that we can help women in Zimbabwe to start projects. And I am appealing to our government that they will not come in the way but encourage us. We are the daughters of Zimbabwe. We are the builders of our nation. We really need to help our nation. But we are so discouraged because everybody is talking about you cannot do it, there's so much corruption. But allow us, help us, protect us, give us the opportunity. We are ready and we are willing. And we are going to start a drive. I'm willing. I'm going to start a drive to help these women. Start projects. Do things that can help themselves. We are not going to just give them money and donations. Because as far as I'm concerned, for a start, yes, we can give donations, cash. But for me, I believe in giving somebody a rod to fish for himself or for herself. That's what will eliminate poverty. We can't just have handouts. Because when you're given the fish, you cook and you eat. And tomorrow you need another fish. But when I give you the rod, you go and fish for yourself. And you'll also be able to help other Zimbabwean women.
And that was Pastor Rebecca Makai, founder of Immigrant Women Coalition USA, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Minnesota here in the United States.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today we have Tapiwa Kandemiri, a dancer at heart, staying in D.C. How are you, Tapiwa?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, girl. Tell me, when did your dancing career start?
I can't say it has like a start date. I was really dancing on and off, but I became serious about it last summer. It's just something my friends and I did, and we just decided like, yo, we always have fun dancing, so maybe we could have fun doing something we love while actually like making money out of it, you know, put it like that.
I saw you dancing, I think was it sometime last year in November with your friend, and mm-hmm. you were in this group and you guys were dancing, and I was like, oh my goodness, are these really Zimbabweans dancing? Are you not afraid? Are you not shy? What's taking place?
Like when you're in that situation, you are really shy, but the adrenaline rush like knocks out, you know, all the shyness, and you know, it balances out. So like when you're in that moment, all you're thinking about is just the dance and just having fun, and you don't even feel all those people watching you. So yeah, you're good in that moment.
So how many groups do you dance for?
One. Last year I was on two groups because I was transitioning from a different group to the group that I'm in now, but now I just dance for one group.
And doesn't it take a lot of your time in terms of your studies?
In terms of my studies, no, it doesn't. I've managed to balance it out for the last year and made it work. I don't usually dance a lot during the school year. It's something mainly I do when I'm on holidays from school. So during like all the breaks and like towards the end of the semester, when I dance a lot more. And I'm studying psychology in school.
So do you miss Zimbabwe by any chance? How long have you been in the United States of America?
It's been like 12 years. I do miss it a lot, but most of my friends are like here now or in England, but I do miss Zimbabwe because of family. You know, most of the time it's just my parents and my sister, and there's only like so much they can teach us about our culture, sorry, and our ways, you know. And being totally also immersed in another culture is like a very big challenge because, one, you have your identity as a Zimbabwean, but also you have to learn to adapt to this new culture. And that is a challenge, and especially, you know, being in America where you're constantly surrounded by so many other things.
Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that was Tapiwa Kandimiri. And I am Chiona Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
He has won acclaim with his movies such as Lobola and The Gentleman. Now filmmaker John Njagu has won a ticket to the coveted Mandela Washington Fellowship and is one of the nearly 60 Zimbabwean youths traveling to the United States tomorrow to undergo 6 weeks of training in business and leadership studies. Njagu talks to Studio 7 reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
I think it's a big opportunity, especially for my career, which is filmmaking. I'm a filmmaker based here in Zimbabwe, like a film director and a writer. And considering that this fellowship is basing on different tracks, and I chose the business and entrepreneurship track, considering that in this line of business, a lot of artists where I come from don't really have knowledge and the know-how of the business element of being an artist. So especially in show business, people just tend to love the show part of it and ignore the business. So for me, it's a big opportunity to learn to sort of even commercialize what I do as a filmmaker.
After Lobola, are there any other films that you have produced of equal acclaim?
After Lobola, we went on to make a film which was called The Gentleman, which co-starred Presley Shikonehai, who was the lead guy in the movie Tsotsi, the South African film that won an Oscar. And he co-starred alongside Munya, who was the lead in Lobola as well. So for that film, we sort of took a different approach where we were trying to sort of hit the international market festivals and everything. So the film went on to win several accolades, including one which I won at the American International Film Festival as the best director in a foreign language film for the movie. It won Munya Best Actor as well. So in terms of acclaim and what we were aiming to do, I think it did a lot greater than Lobola. Lobola was sort of like a local success, but then The Gentleman sort of took it further on an international platform. We then went on to do another one, which was a collaboration with the British Council and the British company called Latimer Films, and the film was called Something Nice from London. And then right currently, we just finished shooting a new one called Escape, which we shot in England and in Zimbabwe, and it's set to premiere in October this year. Yeah.
Which university will you be attending, and also what will you be studying?
I'm going to Cambridge in Boston, and I'm studying the business and entrepreneurship track.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow and filmmaker John Njagu on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo. Remember, Studio 7 tonight, we are going to be talking with listeners about public protests in Zimbabwe over the deteriorating economic environment. And now to recap today's stories, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Mugabe has no clue on fixing the ailing economy. Preparations for an MDCT public protest are in top gear. That's it for tonight. I'm handing you over to Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.